for the rest of 2018.
Since Norm isn't here, we can elect him again?
Yeah, it does work that way. Yeah, the rest of you see fit to do that? Sure. We'll take that one up at the end. Item number 9, we'll circle back around to those.
Okay.
No worries.
So we're going to do that as number 9, right?
Sounds good.
Any other items? Has everybody had a chance to read the meeting notes from last time?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Can I have a motion to accept?
I motion that we accept the meetings as is.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And now it comes down to introductions to Alyssa.
I'll preface the introduction a little bit and I'll pass it over to Melissa. So City of LaPine, I will try to be brief, I promise. Newest city in Oregon. We've had land use planning control for probably about 4 years at this point-ish. And in the past, you know, we've always operated under a contract basis. So we had a consultant who was never based in Bend. We've had a few planning consultants. We've had Tammy Wisco for probably 2.5 years at least at this point, maybe knocking on 3. And that worked well, except when development starts coming in at such a pace that the amount of volume of work of literally processing applications, let alone looking at long-range planning, looking at grants, looking at redevelopment opportunities, the whole suite of opportunities that are within the community development kind of bucket of items that a city can provide, it really made sense for us to have someone full-time on staff here in the community with an office in City Hall and available full-time to help other staff, help the public, and work with the Planning Commission and the City Council on policy, on application processing, on all that kind of stuff. And so in this year's budget, we had this conversation a year ago, heading into the spring, and we budgeted for hiring someone and getting them on board starting right around January 1, and Melissa started January 2nd, and we're very excited to have her here. She's got a tremendous amount of experience, a tremendous amount of insight into the land use, you know, all the elements of expertise that go into that, and then also fresh eyes as well, and an enthusiasm for where LaPine is in its stage as a city, as a rural community, trying to deal with the development that we have coming and being proactive, but also being responsive to what is knocking on the door right now that we have to deal with and help facilitate, whether we like it or not. We like it, but you know what I mean, you get the point. So, Melissa, you want to say a few words?
I'll just say thank you for the warm welcome. I've already met several of you, probably several times now, and I'm excited and looking forward to being here. And I will keep it short.
Yep, sure. Welcome to the time.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yes.
Planning board point of view. We are going on to the 2018-01 IF. Does that mean IF? It
means internal file.
Hearing is presently open for public hearing.
Okay, so I will start with the Exhibit A in your packet that was sent out a week ago. There's just a couple of quick changes I want to make note of. I know I mentioned it earlier, but I also want to mention in case anybody in the audience is not aware, they've seen this draft. We've added a definition of alley. It's not
substantially changing it, but it does clean it up and make it a little bit clearer what is being stated there. And we have added on page 2 under special uses, section 01, minimum lot width for the townhome lots of 25 feet. So what I want to do is go through the general text of this exhibit so it's clear for the public, anybody commenting, as well as for you all what we're looking at tonight. I'll go through that in great detail, I think line by line, and then just do a very brief synopsis of the staff report. So just as a reminder, the applicable review criteria tonight are the procedures ordinance, which dictates how we run meetings and how we process amendments, as well as a comprehensive plan, which sets out the city's goals for where we want to go as a city, as well as the Oregon administrative rules and the 19 statewide planning goals that are included in those rules. So now let's just step through line by line of the amendment, the proposed amendment. And we've got two definitions proposed. The first one is to clean up the language for the alley, which would read with this proposal, a public or private narrow way, 20 feet or less, or as otherwise approved by the city, serving more than one lot or parcel primarily for vehicular access to the back or side of the properties. That'll be important because it's referred to later in the townhomes ordinance. The second one is the definition of townhomes. Right now the code is silent on townhomes, and we've defined it as a permanent building designed for and used exclusively for occupancy by one family that is located on an individual lot but attached to one or more other townhomes through a party wall or walls located on common property line or lines. The second amendment would be to the same ordinance, the zoning ordinance, but section 10 under permitted uses, where we outline our proposal of where townhomes we think should be allowed in the city, and this is up for your consideration. We've proposed that they, at this time, be allowed in the commercial residential mixed-use zone, CRMX, and the mixed-use commercial zone, CMX. And we're recommending that they be allowed as principal uses. Amendment 3 is to section 12 of the zoning ordinance for special uses, and this is the section that we outline additional criteria for certain uses, so we're recommending there be additional criteria for townhomes. And this is really where the meat of this amendment is. I'm going to go ahead and read it just to make sure we're clear on what it's stating. If you want to interrupt me and ask questions, please do. But townhome developments with 3 or more dwelling units shall require site plan approval. All townhome developments shall comply with the standards in subsections 1-9 of this section. The standards are intended to control development scale, avoid or minimize impacts associated with traffic, parking, and design compatibility, and ensure that management and maintenance of common areas. So the first requirement that we propose is setback and lot width. Notwithstanding anything in this ordinance to the contrary, there shall be no required side yard setback between attached homes, i.e. where a party wall is sited. Townhomes shall otherwise comply with the applicable setbacks in the underlying zone. So the front yard, rear yard is what that refers to. And then finally, the minimum lot width for a townhome lot shall be 25 feet. Number 2, building mass and facade variation supplemental standard. The number and width of consecutively attached townhomes shall not exceed 5 units. The facades of townhomes in groups of 3 or greater shall be varied by changed front yard setbacks so that not more than 2 abutting townhouses will have the same front yard setback for its full width. So that was an effort to break up that face so you don't have just a flat face. It's kept fairly broad. We didn't put in a set distance. It could even be broken up by a porch that extends out. So we tried to leave some flexibility for the developer, but made it clear that we don't want a flat facade there. Number 3, garages. Every townhome shall include at a minimum a single car garage. Number 4, alley access developments. Townhome developments in newly created subdivisions shall receive vehicle access only from a rear alley, except when an existing development pattern or topography make construction of an alley impractical. See subsection 3 of this section for standards for street access developments. That I will revise. So that that's just a technical revision on the number there, except three. Alleys shall be created at the time of subdivision approval. Number five, street access developments. Where available, townhomes shall take access from an alley. Townhomes receiving access directly from a public or private street shall comply with all of the following standards in order to minimize interruption of adjacent sidewalks, by driveway entrances, slow traffic, improve appearances of the streets, and minimize paved surfaces for better stormwater management. A of this section, subsection, when garages or carports face the street, the garage or opening shall set back a minimum of 20 feet from the property line fronting the street. That allows for parking of a vehicle in that space. Except B, except where required to be shared, the maximum allowable apron and driveway width facing the street is 24 feet per dwelling unit. The maximum combined garage width per unit facing the street is 50% of the total building width. That's so that we're not staring at the back end of a garage. C, two adjacent garages shall share one driveway with a maximum width of 30 feet when individual driveways would otherwise be separated by less than 20 feet, i.e. the width of one on-street parking space. When a driveway serves more than one lot, the developer shall record an access and maintenance easement or agreement to benefit each lot prior to building permit issuance. Number six, common areas. All areas commonly owned by the owners within a townhome development shall be maintained by a homeowners association or by the owners under a joint maintenance agreement. Covenants, restrictions, and conditions, or a joint maintenance agreement acceptable to the city shall be recorded prior to issuance of a building permit. Number seven, party walls. If not addressed through covenants, conditions, and restrictions, an agreement or agreements for joint maintenance for party walls acceptable to the city shall be recorded prior to issuance of building permit. Number eight, waste disposal and mechanical equipment screening. All waste disposal collection areas and mechanical equipment areas shall be screened from public view. Number nine, fences. Front yard fencing shall be 3 feet or less in height and constructed of split rails, wood pickets, wrought iron, or similar materials and design as approved by the city. Fences shall not be placed within the site vision triangle. And that concludes the proposed text language. I'll go ahead and review the staff report, and then maybe we can get into some questions. If you have clarifying questions, we can hear testimony, and then you can deliberate after that. I apologize, public. I meant to go through and show you the text, but since I've read it all verbally, it should be okay. Just as a reminder of the process, with any zoning ordinance or any ordinance amendment related to land use, DLCD of the Department of Land Conservation and Development was noticed more than 35 days in advance, which is state law, so we followed that. And public notice was also provided in the newspapers, in several weeks worth of newspapers, 2 weeks prior to this meeting, as well as on the website, regular locations around town. And here we are for the Planning Commission hearing on January 17th. I will clarify that. As a reminder, these are applicable review criteria. You don't need to worry about that right now, we can go through that later. But I will go through the staff report briefly, because a lot of the criteria don't specifically apply to this one, as you probably noted. As I noted earlier, it was noticed according to state and local procedures. And when we start getting into the staff report, you saw there's a lot of chapters from the comprehensive plan and a lot of corresponding state goals from state law. The ones that I will highlight relate to the housing as well as the energy efficiency. So page 5 of the staff report, towards the top, I address chapter 10, housing. And essentially, you know, this goal, this chapter has a lot of material in it, but I pulled a couple of relevant policies that relate directly to this. Specifically, a statement from in a city comp plan that says it's essential to develop strategies that increase the variety of housing choices in the community. This does add, adds another housing choice. Another policy from that chapter was that it's necessary to accommodate growth and provide mechanisms that ensure a variety of housing options for all income levels and are available in both existing neighborhoods and new residential areas. I would propose that this does this. And similarly, that development code regulations may need to be modified to support housing types, which is exactly what we're here to do tonight. Similarly, Chapter 11, Energy Conservation, has a policy noting that land use patterns shall achieve greater density for new residential development to decrease energy costs. And that's exactly what this proposal does. It provides an option for greater density in some areas in the CMX and the CRMX zones. So that would be, those would be the similar responses for those state goals that are related to housing and energy conservation, so I won't repeat those. That sums up my staff report. The one, I did put a proposed recommended motion on the board for you to discuss later. The one element I would add to the amendments, proposed amendments here, is that we also add a minor amendment to the land division code. So these are all amendments to the zoning ordinance, but I would also ask that should you approve these or recommend these to council, that you direct staff to create an amendment to the land division code. Right now, the land division code requires that any parcel that is partitioned, any resulting lot, has a minimum of 50-foot width along a public right-of-way. What this amendment does is allows a 25-foot width lot, so that would just be clarifying in the land division code that for townhomes, a 25-foot width would be accepted. So that concludes my presentation. Melissa and I both discussed the amendments, and so we're both on the same page and both happy to answer questions after the rest of the hearing. Or clarifying questions now if you want.
Does anybody have any further questions at this point?
Not at this moment.
I don't have any. No.
I guess we are going to open for public comments. Do you have anybody here? Could you come forward and state your name and
my name is Wade Watson. I'm a member of the board of directors of Habitat for Humanity of the Pine Sun River. For anybody who isn't familiar with our organization, this is our 25th year of providing low-income housing in South Deschutes County. The last 18 houses that we have produced have been turned over to 18 people within the city limits of Little Pine. I'm here to just speak in endorsement in support of this. I think it's a very appropriate thing for you to do, to approve this amendment. And I'd like to articulate why. In the staff report, there's expression of the need for economical housing. You know, basically the experience that we've had this year, we built three homes. The mortgage for the last home that we'll be turning over at the end of this month is $152,000. That is about $40,000 less than the appraised value of that home. So we're able to basically put people into homes for about 80% of what they would pay on the open market. Nevertheless, we are having to reject probably 4 out of 5 applicants because they don't meet the financial qualifications for that kind of a mortgage. So our objective is to try to reduce the cost of the housing such that we can lower that income qualification bar to a somewhat lower level. We believe that with townhomes, we can probably reduce the cost about $15,000, perhaps a little bit more than that. So it does provide a distinct benefit in terms of being able to qualify people. I have reviewed the document, and again, we are very supportive of it and are hopeful that you will approve it. Assuming that you do and that the City Council endorses your decision in February, our vision is to present a subdivision plan probably in March, at the very latest in April, that would provide townhomes on property that we have committed to us just east of the Senior Center. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We will probably be your first application that actually implements these criteria.
One question I have. Right now, I understand you're doing about 3 houses a year.
Yes.
Would that continue with the townhouse?
Well, we're...
Can you increase that, or...
You know, we can. It so far has been based on demand.
Right.
And our board, a year ago, jointly passed commitment that we would do what we needed to do to meet the demand. So if we can have more candidates come forward that meet our qualification for a mortgage, you know, our goal is to be able to build to support that demand. Historically, for the last 2 years, 3 homes has been that the demand.
Now, the demand, as you know, around Pine has increased tremendously over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone from we had a time where we had 2 buildings a year. We are now up to something like, what, 25 last year, 30?
Actually, the latest numbers we saw for 2017 was 47, I believe, single-family dwellings.
47.
That's a significant number.
So it's, and I don't foresee, I certainly don't think anybody would say right now that number is going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we are committed to trying to respond to the demand. All I can say is that so far the people who have met our qualifications, 3 a year has been sufficient.
Yeah.
But it is exponentially higher than what it was historically. In 2014, that's where it started to rise. Before that, we were building 1 house a year.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely gone a lot better.
Does anybody else have any questions?
No. Though the property you speak of that you're targeting initially is east of the senior center?
Yes, it's 2 parcels that are immediately south of the Housing Works parcel.
Okay.
And it's on land that the county has, we've signed an agreement with them whereby they would donate the land. We need to develop it.
Okay.
How big is that parcel?
There are about 1.85, the 2 parcels. One is about 1.1 and the other one is about 0.75.
I know I'm saying, but I remember.
Yeah.
Real quick on that development as well, I believe it's our intention to bring, or we will have to, we'll be bringing that application to Planning Commission in the coming months when that, you know,
right,
we receive it. So I don't know if technically we should probably keep the public comments. I know it's connected, but not to the amendments.
Yeah, it's
so
great information to know that it's coming, but we won't get into details because it will be a quasi-judicial
right
hearing. Yeah.
Primarily, I'd just like to endorse what the city is doing here, and I'm hopeful that you will approve the proposed amendment.
Thank you. Anybody else? And I guess we are closing the public hearing. And commissioners, deliberation. Comments?
Is there any reason to not
approve? You know, it's a more reasonable approach, I think, than like condominiums or, you know, this type of thing. There's real property involved, and I guess condominium is just airspace. So it seems a reasonable approach to get less expensive housing than people can afford. And, you know, it is part of the growth thing, and the demand is there, as we've heard, so.
Seems like something LaPine needs.
Yeah, I mean, housing is like, is it at the top of the list? I'm not sure exactly what
it
is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It's just that we found out housing is the top.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. My opinion is that November is to the point now where the average citizen can't afford to live out there, buy a house or even rent a house. And sooner or later, they're going to swing down here.
Yeah, and they're building up there. I mean, it's almost scary.
Well, it's going up at what, 10-15% a year?
Yeah, you know, the construction going on.
Conservatively. And we have to be able to support our people down here too.
Yeah, I think town halls are a good way to do that.
I think between the housing works and town halls and things like that, I think at least we've taken a little chunk out of the demand. Though we've got a long way still to go. I also like to comment that these two areas that we are doing these in are good areas for development for a townhouse. It's not a right in the middle of the residential areas, it is what it is.
My main concern for any type of housing that has a HOA or common elements is that the fees or the money that it costs to maintain those common areas, if you're talking low income housing or lesser income housing, where does that money come from? And,
yeah,
and how is that going to be?
Because otherwise, it would offset the savings.
Right, because there has to also be reserves for roofing, siding, replacement of windows, all of those things as the units get older. So that would be my concern.
I think that's a very valid concern. So do we have a motion, or should we go with this one first?
If you should choose to use it, yes, it's there for you, but you don't have
to. Go for it, Norma. It's not here.
I need a motion.
I would recommend a motion, or I move to motion to recommend City Council be approved townhouse townhome amendments to the zoning ordinance 2012-05-2012-05 as presented by staff. Included in the same motion, I move to direct staff to draft an amendment to the land division code to address the minimum lot width for townhomes.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's been passed. Other matters, number 9.
The only added agenda item we had was discussion and then all of you voting on who you would like to be the chair and vice chair for 2018.
First, though. Lies, not first, though. I thought it was 2017, but it's 2018. I thought we had to reappoint Mary.
Oh, for terms.
But all your terms are still consistent and good, so.
Excellent.
It's good to know we're good.
It's funny how fast those things come around.
That's true.
Not having been here very long, I don't have the history to be able to know who's missed more meetings than others. And I think that should be sole consideration for who is able to chair these meetings. You and I are both.
Yeah, we're the newbies.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think that's a real problem.
Okay.
Because I just started last year myself.
Okay. So we're all good.
I got to fill in for Norm for the first 3 meetings. So. That's no excuse. Nice try.
All right.
Do we have any nominations?
I nominate Norm.
I second Norm.
You nominated Norm as chair or vice chair?
I'm sorry, as chair.
Chair.
You still need a vice chair.
And do it all in favor of
All in favor of Norm?
Aye.
Staying in the position he's at?
In favor.
Aye.
Aye? Need a vice chair?
Vice chair, I nominate Russ.
That's 2 years in a row.
Did you second that, Mary?
Yes, I'll second.
It's first, I'm not.
All those opposed?
You opposed.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Got it.
We will make sure, I'll mention it to Holly, to touch base with Norm and find out if he's going to be gone for February and March as well, so that we are prepared ahead of time for these types of scenarios. So.
Yeah, it's just, we got caught on that last year when he was out of town.
I remember that, and that was the worst case scenario too. I think we missed having a quorum at that meeting. Yeah, we will make sure that we avoid that scenario.
Now, Norm's, his time in off, or in here is not up, is it?
You
no.
Just checked, yeah.
No, everybody's good. The next term expiration is Mary's, and that's at the end of this year. So, still got 12 more months. You guys are stuck with us for another year.
Or you're stuck with us.
Yeah.
Whichever.
At least you said it.
Okay. Is that all the other matters for staff?
That was the only added agenda item we had.
Mm-hmm. Any public comments?
Well, we do have some staff comments. I'm sorry. I'm just following the way we had it laid out on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
I'll let Tammy or Melissa say anything if they have anything in mind.
I don't have anything in particular. I don't know if you might want to ask for public comments again. I don't know if there was any. Do you want to say anything, Mike? You don't have to, but.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was before the staff comments on there. Yeah.
There's an opportunity.
My bad.
For any public comments if desired, but not this time.
Okay. Perfect.
Sure.
Not necessary, is it cheaper? No. Okay. Yeah, do the Boy Scouts want to say anything? No.
My name is Dixie Grossman. I'm Assistant Scoutmaster for our Lapine Troop.
Come on down.
Oh, I sit here.
Come on down.
That's it?
Yes. If you can give your name so we can get it on the
record. Oh, okay. Right. So I'm surprised. Yes, my name's Dixie Grossman. I'm the Assistant Scoutmaster for Lapine's Troop, Boy Scout Troop 36. We meet here at the middle school every week on Tuesday evenings. And we're great attendance, actually. All of our young scouts here attending middle school, high school, you know, high school now. And so they're earning their merit badge right now for citizenship in the community. So this was the first meeting I saw come up, and I thought we can see what it's about. Of course, our meeting to follow, guys, we will be discussing this if they're wondering what all that was. I took enough notes and we can discuss what this was about. So just inspire them. They're in high school, we have up, and then maybe they'll be interested in. I know at least one of them spoke about being interested in building the industry of hotel or public, you know, take care of the public. So it's good.
Very good.
We'll be gathering instructions and stuff. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
I'm sorry we didn't bring any heavy opponents to make it more.
Yeah, we did. I wrote the pro thing. It was really good because I think, do you guys know who Habitat for Humanity? Any of you aware? Raise your hand if you know what that is. You ever heard of that organization? Habitat for Humanity. Anyone know that?
No. That's why you're going to volunteer for it this year.
Yeah. You can raise that. You know what it is. No one's raising it. They know. The restored ones. Anyway, but thank you for having us. And we'll be back for some other.
Thank you.
Very good. Anytime. Anybody else?
Just happy to see it work.
All right. So we are on to
staff
comments.
Didn't mean to, I was looking at my agenda wrong earlier, sorry. Vice Chairman.
No problem. I only do vice.
You run a tight ship, I appreciate it. Tammy, Melissa, do you have any comments?
I would just give a general update, I guess. Things were a little quiet over the holidays, and then January 2nd, and everybody woke up, and everybody was calling, and I think I had a lot of planning phone calls that day. So we're expecting some more submittals over the next couple of weeks. Site plans, mostly, at this point, other than the potential habitat subdivision coming in, I think everything will be administrative as far as I can see, but definitely let us know if you have questions on what you're seeing come in. There will be notices sent out, so you know we're starting to review them. We'll send the notices out once we have looked at the applications far enough to deem them complete that we can start a review. Gordy's is still in process under review. They made some revisions to their original site plan, so if you look at their first site plan, I recommend coming back and looking at the revised one. It's a smaller scale, not as not constructing a large lounge with it due to some financial considerations and forecasts. So that one will be the biggest one out of the hopper here pretty soon, I would say. We're waiting on ODOT review of the traffic analysis, so we'll see where that discussion goes. And then a handful of other miscellaneous ones, some marijuana-related site plans and conditional uses. A handful of other miscellaneous things, but not insanely busy like we were throughout the fall, but busy enough to keep us both going, and a great opportunity for Melissa and I to work together over the next few months, kind of handing over the reins and working on project by project.
What is your time frame?
Time frame is as needed. It's my understanding that I think the council reviewed a year-long contract, but that's very much on call. I'll be available as needed and whenever needed. My guess is over the next couple of months, Melissa and I will work together very closely, and at that point she's very sharp, and she's been doing this for a long time. She probably doesn't even need me that long, and so she'll be up and running and available to reach out whenever needed.
Are you going to have an office here, then?
I have an office upstairs.
You got an office upstairs.
That's great. Now we have Public Works Manager, City Manager, Community Development Director, Manager. So we can all yell back and forth at each other, collaborate on projects, and
any complaints, we just go upstairs.
Yep.
We kick it upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go like this, talk to them. Just kidding.
You can get past ladies at the front desk.
Yeah.
That's really tricky.
I'll add a little bit onto that. The next 6 months are going to be pretty busy. We've got a lot in motion. We've got a community survey that's going to be going out, going live January 18th. That's this Friday, and it'll be open for a month. We're trying to reach out to the community, folks who live in South County, so within a 15, mile minute radius of the city, because those folks, a lot of them who don't live in the city own businesses in the city, their kids go to school in the city, they shop in the city, they bank in the city, they go to healthcare in the city, whatever it may be, this is their city center, this is their hub. Folks from Christmas Valley or Gilcrest or whatnot, they drive to here, and then obviously people who live here use Lapine as well. So that community survey is really looking at what do folks use downtown for right now, but more importantly, what do people want to use and see in downtown in the future? And so that's kind of the umbrella question and what we're trying to find out. And then we're focusing in on the city center property that we acquired and trying to get some input from the community on what folks want to see on that site specifically, because we're looking to make some improvements happen on that site over the next 1-2 years in that range. The TGM grant that all of you worked on a lot in the fall, and then we had that joint city council planning commission meeting, which was awesome. We should do that more often. That grant phase two is going to be kicking off here hopefully fairly soon, so that'll be getting worked on into spring and into early summer. We had Sustainable City Year program, the kickoff event last Friday for that, and we've got 3 or 4 classes working this term on some projects, and then in the spring we have 2 classes that really have a planning, land use type development focus. One is looking at bicycle and pedestrian connectivity within the city, and then the other one hopefully will be taking some of the feedback we get from the survey and some of the work that's happening with the TGM grant, and then coming up with some 3D renderings, and it's a landscape architecture class, so partially looking at complete streets and the city center property, and kind of getting us going from a vision to an actual concept of what that could look like, which would be really exciting. And then, yeah, we fully expect development applications to pick up. And I know one of the things that Melissa and I have talked about is just continuing to engage the Planning Commission more often, whether that's through memos or through, we'll have more regular meetings. There's some items that Tammy and I wouldn't say we neglected them. They just, you make a priority list and things work their way to the bottom inevitably. And so with Melissa on board, we'll start to kind of sprinkle those in along the way as we have a little bit of time. So you'll see some of those items kind of pop up over the next few months or the next 6 months. Just kind of setting the stage for the next, first part of this year.
One question I have is, when is Dollar General supposed to come online?
I don't know that answer, actually. I don't remember if they give us a tentative opening date?
No, I don't remember hearing an opening date. I know that during construction they ran into a few challenges with sewer, but I think they've worked that out. But I don't know. I'm just guessing. Summer, fall.
I guess, I feel.
I don't know. It looks like spring, summer, rolling, then going out.
Right, and you're making a lot of progress.
Did they say March? Good for them if they can do it.
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, with the way this winter's been done.
I know Crescent Creek has had a couple of more buildings coming through.
Let's see, there's 4, 5, 6 lots under development right now.
Yeah, 2 unsold units that are completed.
Huntington Meadows. We haven't
spoke
we've
with
got
them.
A bunch of them out there right now. We had to go through the system.
Yeah, so we've been working with them on that, and I spoke with one of their one of the folks who's kind of their leads in regards to where because they're building in actually almost every Central Oregon community right now.
Right.
I'm sure Polish
yep.
is probably too.
Yep.
And so they're busy across the county, across the tri-county region. But talking with them, they said that their tentative goal. And again, it depends on the market, depends on what's getting built, as if it's getting sold, is 3 new home starts a month. So 3 times 12 is 36. We're gonna have a busy 2018. That's just in that subdivision, that neighborhood. Yeah, Housing Works is planning to break ground. What I've heard is it probably in the next couple months.
Right.
I think it's somewhat weather contingent, but 2.5 months from now, it'll be March 1. So, or 1.5 months from now, it'll be March 1. The weather, they'll be breaking ground soon, and then their opening date is fall.
Well, March 1st, that could be the beginning of our winter.
That's true. Yeah, we're going from
had it
January
yet, so.
Into, the spring winter.
You know we're going to get caught.
Oh, I'm not, yeah, I believe it.
I don't care how many snow blowers we buy, it's going to catch up. My impression.
A little comment.
I like what all I've heard. It's a good plan.
Just keep on going, Let's get the city built.
I think this is a real good step. It's putting the townhouses in. Hopefully we can get even more of those going from various other people, not to just knock the Habitat for Humanity, but hopefully other people get inspired by you guys to start putting in some more houses here.
And were there commercial projects that we've heard of? Trying to think of anything new commercial. Until anything's submitted, which it's generally not public record, because we don't know whether we're getting anything in or not.
But no major commercial discussions that I'm recalling.
A lot of
inquiries. I get phone calls just about every day, but you never know whether they're going to materialize or not.
We expect to see some activity in the industrial park this construction season. You'll hear at a later date that our economic development manager through the SLED board, Centerville Pine Economic Development Advisory Board, and then we'll be talking with council actually at next week's work session about the potential for a getting a building built that could help sort of be a bridge from getting smaller companies here who we have lots of land in the industrial park, several hundred acres of available land. But for some reason, well, I know why, developers are not coming and building here right now. I think they're plenty busy and the margins are a little better in Bend and Redmond. That's just the reality of it. So we keep losing out on smaller companies. When I say small, I mean maybe a couple employees or a handful of employees who would like to be here but don't have the capital to build a building. So how do we help bridge that gap through economic development and you know, investment? And so anyways, we're working on that project. So we'll keep you updated as that moves forward as well. We'll see, over the next few months, we'll learn a lot more on whether that's gonna happen this next summer or not. Yeah.
Have we heard anything more on the Echo or the power plant out there?
The biomass facility?
Biomass.
So we are in discussions with them in regards to a services agreement. Really, it's water, wastewater services. And that item, we've been working with them internally, kind of staff, for the last few months at least, maybe going on 4 or 5 months. And then it's going to be an item again at the council meeting next week. So I'd expect some movement on the services agreement in the next couple months, perhaps. But then in terms of actual moving forward, there's still other pieces of the puzzle that need to kind of be put in place. It's no sooner than at least a couple of years out, if it even is a for sure go. So.
Yes. Tammy, you said that Gordy's has a new plan out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they submitted a revised plan, which maybe in December, I think they submitted a revised plan, which is largely what they have on site now as far as buildings. They're proposing to move a few pumps to separate vehicles and heavy truck traffic for safety and for circulation. They're also proposing some significant parking striping and just general circulation throughout the lot for those trucks that are coming in to maybe park long term, take a nap, whatever may be the case, just to fix the circulation of it, but not significant building footprint changes. They've also got a right-of-way vacation proposal that's not quite complete yet. We're still waiting on some utility letters on that. So that's all part of the package, slowly moving through the process. But yeah, come take a look at the plan if you're interested. It's obviously an important site. I suspect there will be more development in that area in the years to come, but we have not seen anything on paper.
Well, didn't help their roofs fell apart.
Might have thrown them for a little bit of a loop. Yeah. But it ultimately doesn't affect the site plan we have indoor right now.
I've got another.
I think they probably would have done more if we would have had something going on there.
In terms of the Wickiup Junction area, I want to make a quick note as well, because there was a lot of conversation when the overpass project obviously got derailed and in essence scrapped. And so we've been working with ODOT, and they've committed that probably starting 6 to 9 months from now, it seems like a long ways from now, but they're going to be working on getting the dollars allocated and the consultant on board to do what's called refinement planning. So they'll be looking at the First Street intersection all the way up to the northern city limit. So that stretch where there's a passing lane and you speed back up to 55 or 60 or 65 or however fast people go through there, and then you are supposed to slow back down at Wickiup Junction. And there's going to be a lot of time and energy on ODOT's part, on the city's part, and also spent engaging property owners and business owners in that area to come up with what's the long-term vision and plan for that area. And then as we're having that in place, can then help us go and hopefully get grant dollars and prioritize how we start to move towards accomplishing that. That same process or similar process with the corridor plan occurred between First Street and Sixth Street, where we're at right now, First Street in the southern city limit. And that is, as a result, why we've got this multi-million dollar streetscape project on the west side that's going to be breaking ground in a few months and under construction this summer. So although there hasn't been a lot of public or even the city saying, hey, you know, we're spending time at Wickiup Junction, it's coming, and we're working with ODOT behind the scenes to get that lined up. So
because that Burgess exit into 97 is still on.
It's terrible. We,
it gets worse, I swear, every week.
It does. And yeah, it's bad. That's bad. The Roslyn intersection is troublesome. You know, you can imagine when there's more development on Drafter, that's going to be more of a challenge. You have all the business accesses right there. The whole area needs to be completely relooked at. And we've worked with ODOT, and there are going to be some small improvements over the next 6 months. So actually, you're going to see the speeds go down in that area fairly soon to 45 miles an hour with driver feedback signs on both sides. And then as part of the repaving project, or repaving from Sunriver to 31, that's at the same time they're doing the streetscape here, they're going to be doing some lighting improvements, some better signage, some better striping. It's minor stuff, but every little bit helps at this point. And then the refinement planning is what's going to be the heavy lift in terms of what are the large major investments that really help reshape the look and feel of that area. Well, the refinement planning process is that's where all of that conversation will happen in terms of, you know,
yeah,
new overpass, signal,
something,
bypass, whatever it may be. There, you put all the cards on the table and you really, you know, dig into that and try to come up with your alternatives and your best alternatives. So that conversation is to be determined, but the fact that we've got them committed to having that conversation and spending the dollars and the time on that is critical. So.
Anything else?
Nothing further.
Move to adjourn.
You move to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Need a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Good bet. We started 5 minutes late.